Tonight, Mike legalizes all drugs, James overthrows the government, and John attacks Mike's balls.
StrongPunk.com.
Oh, you cocksucker. I didn't even know you were recording. And this is Couch Potato Mike, by the fucking way, catching me off guard, you fucking sniper.
It reminds me of our old podcast. They used to always get you off guard.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. I'd never know when we started recording. Is that why you're doing this, for nostalgia's sake?
For nostalgia, yeah.
You douchebag. How much of that made it on there? Oh, fuck it. Anyway, how
something
are you?
Anyway, good. I am doing well.
There's not even an H in that fucking word.
Well. Yeah, so I finally have contacted an electrician. Getting my electrical work should be done fairly cheaply and easily. I need to buy the parts and build the box and the pole thingy.
Boxes and poles.
Hell yeah, they make the world go round. They make the rocking world go round. We haven't been on in a while, so...
Not on a standalone, non-interview type episode.
Yeah, so let's see what's happened since the last time we had an episode. I have a girlfriend now. Shout out to Serenity. She's going to blush, right? She's probably passed out. Like, she heard me and she passed out.
Serenity's your girlfriend. It's yeah. So cute that you have a girlfriend. I love that. It's adorable.
Yeah, so the girlfriends can go pound sand now. I watched Deadpool, and it's probably the best movie I've ever seen.
I'm actually, after I do this podcast, I'm going to go watch Deadpool with my nephew.
And me. Try to leave me out.
I'd give him a shout out, but he didn't listen to this shit.
No.
He's a 16-year-old boy. He ain't gonna listen to us.
Yeah, the only time that your family ever got excited was I mentioned one time that I did an unboxing video, and your daughter's eyes lit up. She's like, "You did an unboxing video?" Because your daughter watches everything that's on YouTube.
Oh, God.
She's seen every YouTube video there is.
That drives me freaking nuts. So much so that yesterday, her and her brother got some old toilet paper tubes and rubber bands and actually made rubber band guns, and I'm like, "You mean they weren't on YouTube? This is awesome. They were, like, using found materials of their imagination to have fun with." Then the next phone call, which is an hour later, I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, now they're arguing over what to watch on YouTube." I'm like, "God damn it!"
Yeah, right back.
That didn't fucking last long, because, I mean, that to me was a shout-out to my childhood.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had a TV that was black and white with fucking 7 channels on it, maybe?
So the imagination Saturday morning cartoons are all we had.
Yeah.
And we still love those.
Oh,
Speaking of Saturday morning cartoons, if you're in Minnesota, we're thinking about opening a business to repair concertinas, because we hear that's a big thing up there. Yeah, that's...
"Oh, no, me squeeze box is broken, man. I ain't got nobody to fix it."
Yeah. So, I guess a lot has happened. Deadpool's the best movie. Gonna watch it again.
I got ink done.
Mike got a TARDIS tattoo.
Yes.
Everyone thinks it looks amazing. Mike's anal and,
I have to live with the damn thing, and there's a crooked line on it, which I'm hoping is just like the scabs. Because I didn't notice the crooked line before the scabs. What? I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, well, I guess you should be like my brother David and just slice the skin off your arm.
Yeah.
Just slice it, peel the skin off your arm like a Terminator 2. Just pull it right off, and then when your skin regrows like Deadpool and you can masturbate with a tiny little infant hand, then you get a new tattoo done.
Spoilers, sweetie.
Have I not told you that?
Yeah, you did, but I forgot about it. You know, that I was trying to block.
He's touching
it.
The old black lady's face with his, like, wrinkled hand. It's like, ew, gross.
No, I can't wait to fucking see that movie. It's a game changer.
That movie
is like breaking records left, right, and sideways.
George is just walking in circles today.
He's like, "Uncle Mike doesn't have the laser pointer."
All right, so let's get into the show today, because we missed one last week, so everyone is probably, like, on their edge of their seat dying for a show. This one will be a fun one. I'd kind of planned it out to be a solo show, but Mike's here, so we'll do that instead.
You had no faith.
Huh?
You told me 10 o'clock, and I was here at 9:55.
No, you were actually here a couple minutes after 9:55. It was like 10:01.
Well, I left my house at 9:55.
You live 2 steps away.
It's not 2 steps. It's like 33.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever, me.
Whatever. So, today's show
is brought to you by the letter K and the number
what
3.
What do we have coming up today, Mike?
Well, let's see. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking about picking a survival knife. The game changed in Venezuela last night. Thinking of becoming a vegetarian? Well, you can't.
In survival punk, yeah. And then I did that out of order.
Yeah, you really did. And we're going to be talking about how Birmingham raises minimum wage and Alabama takes it away.
I could have swore you would do that in Jordan Clarkson's voice. Birmingham!
I had to stop myself.
Yeah.
Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you about the Xfinity people at Walmart?
Yeah, the British.
The two Brits, yeah. No, they loved this, and I wound up they're trying to sell me Xfinity. Then the one dude's like, is that a TARDIS on your arm? Oh, you have to let me get a picture of that. And then we just talked about Doctor Who and Top Gear for the next 20 minutes.
What were they doing over here?
They were selected from the team over in England to come to the States and sell Xfinity in Walmarts, as far as I could tell. I don't know.
You're a fool!
What?
Why don't we go over for Xfinity so we can get picked to go over to Britain and do that shit?
They don't want to listen to us.
They probably do.
They don't want to listen. Oh, the dude's like, oh, I'd be wearing a bow tie with this outfit, but I don't know how to tie one. I'm like, I can show you.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, Doctor Who, bringing friends together.
Hell yeah.
So, the game changed in Venezuela last night, and the international media is asleep at the switch. This comes from CaracasChronicles.com. Whatever, the link will be...
That's Caracas, CaracasChronicles.com.
You're a Caracas.
It's a city, goddammit!
Your face is a city.
You've never heard of Caracas?
Your face literally is so big you have multiple cities on your face.
I think it's a Greek city.
Your face is. Dear International Editor.
Now you can't see it.
Listen and understand. The game changed Venezuela last night. What had been... Don't cry for me, Venezuela. What had been a slow-motion unraveling that had stretched out over many years went kinetic all of a sudden. Went kinetic. I don't think that's the word they wanted to use there.
Went kinetic?
It went stored energy all of a sudden. What we have this morning is no longer the Venezuela story that you thought you understood. Throughout last night, panicked people told their stories of state-sponsored paramilitaries on motorcycles roaming middle-class neighborhoods, shooting at people, and storming into apartment buildings. This yellow font, I don't like at all. Damn you, Caracas.
I think they're links.
Shooting at anyone who seemed like links should be blue. Shooting at anyone who seemed like he might be protesting. Ah.
Me.
Fuck. All right, here we go.
People continued to be arrested merely for protesting, and long-established local human rights NGO makes an urgent plea for an investigation into widespread reports of torture and detainees. There are now dozens of serious human rights abuses. National Guardsmen shooting tear gas canisters directly into residential buildings. We have videos of soldiers shooting civilians on the street, and that's just what came out in real time over Twitter and YouTube before any real investigation is carried out. Online media is next. A city of 645,000 inhabitants has been taken off the internet and amid mounting repression, and this blog itself has been the object of the Facebook block campaign. What we saw were not street clashes. What we saw is a state-hatched offensive to suppress and terrorize its opponents. Here at the Caracas Chronicles, we are doing what it can to document the crisis, but there's only so much one tiny zero-budget blog can do.
English is not their first language.
No. After the major crackdown on the streets of large and small Venezuelan cities last night, I expected some kind of response in the major international news outlets this morning. I understood that with an even bigger and more photogenic freakout ongoing in an event more strategically important country, we weren't going to be the front page above the fold. But I'm staggered this morning to wake up, scan the press, and find nothing. As of 11 a.m. this morning, the New York Times World section has nothing.
Wow. Yeah, this is the only thing I heard about it at all. On some prepper sites, I heard some other stuff, too. Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, there's... It's a bunch of leaks of fucking news pages that have nothing on it, and then finally some stuff down here at the bottom. The level of disengagement on display is deeply shocking. Venezuelan's domestic media blackout is joined by, you get the point.
Yeah, wow. It's interesting to look at Venezuela, because I don't want to say that's where America is going, but that's a path it could go. Like, people are like, oh, South America, you're still a third world country. Like, Venezuela used to be, like, a really nice place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was not a third world country. It was first world. Like, it was high class, fancy smancy, a damn good place to live. Now you're probably more likely to get kidnapped and shot.
Yeah.
Government crackdown, one of the first things they did when their country started collapsing was they put out controls on the money, so you weren't able to send money and wire money overseas and do some, like, to send money out of the country, basically. Like, right. They kind of kept all the money in the country. And a couple years ago, I heard America was starting to do a few of those things. And I told you to keep an eye out, because I know you wire money to your father sometimes.
I used to.
And that could be an issue.
You know, I did for a while, but now the money just goes straight over there.
Well, there you go.
But fucking shit, dude. I mean, personally, this is my humble opinion as mm-hmm. one couch potato amongst millions. But I personally believe that they should just abolish all the governments in South America and let the drug cartels run the countries. I swear to God, it would be a lot more peaceful and people would be happier if the drug cartels just ran everything, if they made the laws. Because, I mean, shit, they would get their way, everybody would be happier, people would benefit from that. I mean, think about it, the reason drug cartels and shit are so fucking dangerous is they have these fucking crooked-ass governments to go up to, who aren't really trying to stop them, they're just trying to fucking wet their beaks. Get rid of the governments. Let the drug cartels take it over.
Or end drug prohibition in the United States, thus basically putting every drug cartel out of business. If you can't sell drugs because they're all legal,
mm-hmm.
you really either have the option of, like, going away because you have no money, or become a legal businessman at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that would legitimize all the fucking cartels. That would turn them from a cartel into a corporation.
Yeah, which...
with global ties. I mean, think about it. They already reach into all these other countries, like fucking the United States and stuff like that. Think about if that was fucking... those were actually legal lines of fucking commerce. There'd be, like, people shaking hands on the fucking cover of the New York Times. Legalize all the fucking drugs. Turn these fucking illegal cartels into legitimate business corporations. Let them run everything. Yeah, world peace.
Yeah.
World fucking peace. I mean, don't just fucking, you know, do the, you know, the marijuana and the cocaine and the crack and shit. Legalize all of it. Legalize all the opiates.
Yeah.
And then, you legalize all the opiates, you've just made a bunch of fucking Middle Easterns happy.
I've actually heard recently that it's getting a bit easier to get microdose prescriptions of magical mushrooms for certain, like, brain... like, you can use it as a nootropic. Like, small doses of magic mushrooms make you smarter. Like, literally, they do expand your brain. Like, they've done MRIs of people on mushrooms... and you literally do get smarter.
You know, I saw a little blip somewhere on fucking Facebook the other day where the fucking U.S. has finally acknowledged that, yeah, marijuana can kill cancer cells. And all I'm like, it's about fucking time. That's the first step toward making it a legitimate medicine that the fucking federal government can back. I mean, there's got to be people out there that are trying to fucking find the way to legitimize it. I mean, I know there has been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just need to fucking... just fucking legalize. Like I said, legalize all the fucking drugs. It turns criminals into businessmen. Boom. You've already eliminated fucking 75% of the world's violence.
Yeah. I don't... Yeah.
And crime. I mean, because without legalizing, the crime doesn't exist anymore.
Yep. You know what? I saw this Facebook meme, and I shared it on both my personal page and the Survival Punk. So, facebook.com/Survival Punk fan page. Go like it, or I'll kill you and eat your spleen. But
put
it was
some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I don't eat beans, so I don't drink wine either. More like with some bacon and some hot coffee.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Anyway, it was, if you could end one thing in the world, what would you end? I didn't even think about my answer. Government. All government's gone. And I got some good answers, and I got some, like...
Apparently, we're having the anarchist episode today.
Because
both me and you are already talking about fucking abolishing government.
Yeah, we're gonna have one real soon. I kind of want to have a guest star, not even like to interview, but just to like shoot the shit with. Just a third co-host, anarchist, the anarchist rant hour, or with us, it'd probably be like 2 hours and 30 minutes or something. For God's sake, I want to have Dan Green back on the show. He's still in hiatus. You know what? We're going to start a GoFundMe. Me and Mike are flying to Scotland to podcast with Dan Green. Help raise his money. But anyway, so one guy was like, I want to end Islam or cancer. The same difference.
The same what?
I was just like...
Look, I support anarchy, not stupidity.
Yeah. And I was like, well, fuck it. Why don't we just end all religion? Gone. Ban. No response back from that jackass.
Yeah.
So.
Because they only want the other, you know, the wrong religion gone.
Yeah.
Get rid of government, get rid of religion. Just fucking.
Because without one or the other, they both step up to fill the absence.
Goddammit, John Lennon had it figured out. You don't remember that song? Imagine there's no heaven, no religion too, all that stuff. Yeah. And basically it was like, imagine that, you know, all the religion and all the government's away and how happy we'd all be. Yeah, he was right.
Yeah.
And that was back in the fucking 70s.
Yeah. Leave us a comment in the show notes. What would you like to get rid of? Oh, yeah, probably. What's the next armringer? Birmingham
raises minimum wage and Alabama takes it away. Yes. Oh, wrong Birmingham.
Yes. Birmingham, Alabama. Raise the city's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour on Tuesday. 2 days later, the state took it away. Oh my God! 2 days later, the state took it away.
Honey, I'm gonna have a really weird paycheck this week.
Oh God! Oh God! Alabama passed a bill Thursday. Largely along party lines that bars cities and counties from raising the minimum wage or requiring employees to provide leave or other benefits. Employers. It'd be funny if employees had to provide their own leave benefits. Because the law applies. No, we are not stoned on this episode, I swear. Because the law applies retroactively, it wipes out Birmingham's raise.
Oh my God.
Republican legislative leaders fast-tracked the bill in order to pass it before Birmingham's raise was set to take effect March 1st. The GOP enjoys supermajorities in both houses. Within an hour or so of the bill's passage, Gov. Robert Bentley... Birmingham just wants to be in Britain. Let's just export him.
Yeah.
Bentley, a Republican, announced he had signed it.
Alabama is a poor state, but I say we are poor by choice. Because of bills like this that keep people poor. State Senator Linda Coleman Madison, a Democrat, said as the measure was being debated. Let's see. Largest industries that employ most near minimum wage workers. Restaurants and other food services are off the fucking charts. You got grocery stores, department stores, construction, elementary, and secondary schools. Alabama currently has no minimum wage of its own, so Birmingham's largely black low wage market, many of whom work for fast food outlets, can continue to be paid $7.25 an hour. The federal minimum... The Coleman Madison has proposed a constitutional amendment to raise the minimum wage statewide to $10 an hour. supporters of the state bill said Alabama needs one uniform minimum wage in order to provide simplicity for employers. They also argued that raising the minimum wage leads to job losses. Raising the minimum wage leads to job losses? I can promise you employment will go downhill, State Sen Yabo Wagner, a Republican, said Thursday. In fact, different studies have drawn different conclusions, but an award-winning 2014 book that combined thousands of results from hundreds of studies found that raising the minimum wage has very modest or no effects on employment hours and other labor market outcomes.
Well, minimum wage hasn't gone, like, super crazy like that either, though. Like, if you're going from $7 to $10 an hour, that makes a big difference on the paycheck.
Yeah, I mean,
really does.
I mean, think about it. On a 40-hour work week, I mean, that's 3 times 40. That's an extra, let's say, fucking $90 after taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a fucking struggling motherfucker, $90 can, like, make or break certain situations. It really can. Me and you have both been there.
Yeah. Yeah, $90 is awesome. See, just once again, government. Like, just fucking government. Like, I'm not a big supporter of the minimum wage.
Uh-huh.
Because companies, I full-heartedly believe in the free market, and competition between companies is what drives up wage. I mean, one, you probably should be working for minimum wage anyway. I mean, it's really not that hard to find a non-minimum wage job.
Well, in some places
I got a
is.
Shitty part-time job, and it started out at, I don't know, $9.50. That's still better than minimum wage.
Tennessee doesn't have a state minimum wage either.
No, it's the federal $7.35 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if you shitty like McDonald's jobs and stuff are even gonna like start you at minimum wage. Most like grocery stores, retail chains and stuff, they're gonna start you more.
Well. When I
fucking Aldi's is what, $11 an hour?
Yeah, it is. And dude, but when I fucking started in the job market, it was my first ever job was for Kroger's, $4.15 an hour.
Yeah.
Of course, then again, that was 21 years ago.
I say when I started at Kroger's, it was probably $5.15, I think.
So you started later than I did.
Yeah.
I mean, because this was when I was 16, so.
I would have been like 12.
Yeah. So, yeah, you wouldn't have been working.
No. But, yeah.
And yeah, they flogged your ass.
Or something. Yeah, they did. Yeah. It's both sides of the Birmingham fucking Alabama government are dumb fucks. Like. Really, they're going to freak out that bad they have to pass a statewide law to keep one county or this one city from raising the minimum wage?
The turnover time, and that was nuts.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
They're like, oh God, what are they doing? We got to get this done quick. And yeah. Because they have fucking Republicans on both sides of the fucking aisle, they were able to get it done in like fucking 5 minutes, probably.
Yeah. Oh, government.
Yeah, government.
Yeah.
Oh, on a bright side, though, Raven Simone will be moving out of the country.
Oh, my God. Bitch said that if a Republican won the primary, she would leave.
Yeah, she said she will move out of the country if a Republican gets nominated for president.
Yes. So she will.
Bye, bitch.
I can't believe Trump is still winning.
I can.
I thought that he would be gone.
Saying all the shit that American yabos have been wanting to hear forever from a candidate.
He's being the biggest flaming asshole ever. And
yes!
It's literally like...
People are tired of people... Oh, fucking... The candidate's getting up there and trying to kiss their asses. They want a candidate that's going to tell you to go fuck yourself. And you get that with Trump.
Did you hear that Trump said he could go out on like... I don't know, 42nd Street and shoot someone in the fucking head and wouldn't lose a damn vote.
Yeah, I did hear about that. And he's fucking true. It is fucking true.
I saw a meme that was like Donald Trump above, like, I can shoot someone in the fucking head and not lose a vote. Had Dick Cheney below it like, amateur.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Shoot someone in the fucking head and keep being vice president.
Oh my god, that was fucking... He did, he shot a lawyer in the face!
Yeah.
I thought you were a quail.
Oh my god.
You see what I did there?
That was good, that was good.
Oh my god.
Oh man, anarchy. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, we're having the anarchy episode against our will.
Yeah.
We really are. What's next?
Main show topic, which is picking a survival knife. Hot diggity damn.
Now, this is actually something very important. I mean, because you're going to need a good... I mean, you're in a survival situation. You're going to have to fucking have something that cuts.
Yes.
I personally have 3 fucking cutting implements on me at all times. I have a fucking...
Yeah.
Box cut... I have a fucking box cutter with replaceable fucking razor blades on it. Plus, I have my one folding knife. And, thanks to Matt French, I have a credit card knife in my wallet at all times now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like having stuff that cuts.
Me too. I remember, before you even get into it, I remember one time I got searched by the police one time after buying a coffee in the gas station because they said I smelled like marijuana, which
is funny coming from you.
Which is funny because I have not smoked marijuana in 15 years probably.
Oh my god. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think 15 years. And this was probably like 2 years ago, so definitely not 15 years ago. But people in my shitty apartment at that time did smoke weed, and the smells, like I walked through the hallway, I walked through a cloud. And so anyway, the motherfucker decided to frisk me. And he's like, do you have any knives on you or in your vehicle? And I think I started laughing because I had the neck knife on me. I had, I think, a box cutter, a pocket knife, and I just went hiking. So I had my big survival knife and a smaller survival knife strapped to it, and then I think another knife in the trunk in my get-home bag.
So you're like at 6 or 7 knives.
Yeah, I'm at like 6 or 7 knives. It was pretty funny. He let me go, obviously, because there's nothing wrong, and he was like, okay. And he was like, oh, that's a cool knife. I like that, you know, the neck knife.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't even, like, freak out about that. But, yeah, I personally believe that needs to be where most... of your budget goes into. Like, if you, I think most of your money should go into buying a good quality survival knife. If you're just getting into it, I have some cheaper options so you can have a decent knife so you're not knife-less.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I kind of go by the upgrade philosophy. Like, you kind of get stuff and then you upgrade it over time.
Right.
And that knife needs to be probably number one thing. Like, when you have a decent amount of money, you're going to want to upgrade. And then you'll get the knife bug, and you'll keep buying more and more knives.
I've always been a fan of, like, cutting implements.
Yeah.
I really have. And I've got so many, I've got swords in there, for God's sakes. I own 2 machetes, I own 2 machetes, one of which has got a really nice fucking saw blade on the back.
Yeah.
That works like a fucking charm. Plus, I've got this fun one fucking big survival knife that came with its own sharpening tool and that fucking, the rod where you can fucking sparks.
Ferrocium.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, came with all that and their fucking survival whistles.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is actually one of the better quality ones because I'm going to bash the Rambo knives later on, but yours...
Yeah, the original survival knives, as they were called.
Shit balls. So... Sort of the first thing, we need to talk about where are you and how do you plan to use your knife?
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be different. Like, if you're Cody Lundeen and you're in the Arizona desert, it's going to be different than if you live in Wisconsin.
Or down in, like, the Louisiana Bayou.
Yeah, or Florida. Yeah, or, for God's sake, if you are in the African jungle. Like, which, if you live in Africa and you listen to this show, send me an email. Because you're awesome. I know I have a New Zealand person that listens or used to.
Well, I would just like to say to all of our African fans, Ida Oda.
What the fuck?
What, I spoke African.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Either that or what up, homie?
I can only speak Durka Durka.
Durka Durka?
That's how I get through when I'm in the Middle East.
I can speak Herfa Durfa.
Durka 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 Durka. So, yeah.
We are such racist bastards.
No.
uh, everybody in Africa is like, hey man, that's not cool, you clicking on us like that.
Why are you doing a Wisconsin accent?
They travel.
Yeah. So yeah, where are you at? What are you using it for? So I, you know, here in Tennessee, we've got some pretty dense woodland. That's most of our woodland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're basically, we live in a giant forest. Tennessee, I mean, if you ever look at the maps of fucking Tennessee from, like, back in the South, the whole fucking state is one gigantic forest.
Yeah.
Especially Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is very deeply, very densely populated with trees. I mean, and me and you, we technically live in the woods. They just built a neighborhood in the woods.
Yeah. You know, lots of pines, lots of other non-pine trees. But yeah, so I build my philosophy on a big survival knife paired with a saw. That's my sort of system. And it allows me to process wood, chop wood. Mm-hmm. Because our trees are thick, but they're not like, we don't have a whole lot of like big trees.
Right. I mean, it's nothing like fucking sequoias or redwoods.
No. Or not even like the good, like northern woods. Like we don't have any super thick trees. Like, with the like pocket chainsaw or even like a bow saw or a, other like folding saw, I can process most things are like, four-inch diameter or so?
On average, the biggest trees around here are we're talking about the biggest ones, are between a foot and 2 feet wide.
Yeah. I mean,
not on my crotch, you motherfucker!
That sounds terrible. That's pointing the laser at the Jordan. Anyway, so yeah, here, that's sort of what you want. If you live, like, further north, that's the territory where you're going to want to start thinking about maybe a small axe.
Mm-hmm.
To be paired with your knife. And this is where we're focusing on knife, but we're sort of encompassing bladed cutting instruments with knife.
I mean, axes, anytime you're going to be cutting trees, axe is great, the fucking thing to have around.
Yeah. Like Mike said, that he has two machetes. Tennessee isn't super important for machetes, but there are times where they're useful here.
Yeah.
If you live in the bayou or Florida, that probably needs to be one of your main bladed instruments. You're going to need a machete.
I mean, and plus, like I said, my one machete, my good machete, I mean, the whole fucking back edge of it's like a saw blade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can hack in one direction and saw in the other. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. We have some, like, planes in the, there are some, if you spend enough time in the Tennessee woods, I don't mean, like, hiking trails and stuff, but I mean, like, backwoods.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of thorn bushes everywhere. Like those stupid thorn vines are everywhere.
Yeah.
Machetes are good for that.
Oh, yeah.
Any big chopper knife is good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Machetes are good. That's sort of our philosophy here. Me, I said that I use a big survival knife, which is a Buck Hoodlum, and I guess I'll talk about that later. And I pair that with a smaller knife. So, calming down. Because I get excited talking about knives. We both get excited talking about cutting shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Cutting shit and shooting shit. Shit.
I mean, you at least own guns. I don't own any guns. So my fucking knives and machetes and shit like that, that's my bread and butter.
Yeah, I mean, now we're surrounded by...
If there's a fucking weird sound in the middle of the fucking night, dude, I have my good machete within fucking arm's reach at all times. I'm up. And out of my bed and in the living room in my fucking boxer shorts holding a goddamn machete.
Yeah.
Half the time, you know, like, scaring the hell out of at least one of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, daddy's on the rampage again.
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't got a sword for that.
I have to keep the swords put up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the swords I get... Well, I got, like, the samurai sword set, and frankly, they're shit. Two of their handles keeps wanting to fucking slide off, which that's not good if you have like that and the fucking blade goes flying through, and they're more for show anyway.
Yeah, I want to get one of those, like, big giant swords that can actually, like, destroy all kinds of shit.
You want a cloud sword.
I do want a buster sword, yeah.
Sword that's taller than the motherfucker wielding it.
Oh, yeah, there's... I get geeked out watching those sword-making videos on YouTube sometimes. So we've established that you need to match your bladed instrument to your locale.
Irish dude with his buddy, Stranger Danger Mike.
Stranger Danger. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That big giant swords guy, yeah.
Like, your Uncle Irish Mike. He's like, your Uncle Mike, Mike's Not Michael Fun, then Stranger Danger
Stranger
Mike.
Danger Mike, yeah.
I love that.
I love that guy. I guess his show got canceled, unfortunately. But, yeah, he's still doing YouTube videos. And he started putting out, like, freaking, like, hour and a half, 2 hour long build videos. I'm like, oh, so good. So, next, after you determine where you're at and how you want to use your knife, if you're not going to be batoning wood, then obviously you can go a smaller, not as well-built knife. You next need to determine your budget. Are you a broke-ass motherfucker? Or can you spend, you know, $500 on a Tom Brown Tracker custom knife? I can't. I did try to get with a guy one time to have a custom forged knife, and he ended up putting me off, and I just was like, well, screw you then, buddy. And I bought a knife somewhere else. Or I bought two knives somewhere else. Because having a hand-forged knife is pretty nice, and I want to be there eventually. And I almost went around the other day and tried to get the cheapest supplies necessary to build, like, a hobo forge. So we'd be forging stuff. We're going to do that soon. We're going to be forging soon.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. You can hold my steel and I'll whack it. Or I'll hold the steel and you can whack it with your beefy man arms. You don't know. But you will be after being a blacksmith. A blacksmith.
A blacksmith.
Yes. Because you're British.
Indubitably.
So, yeah, what's your budget? If you're just starting out, there are some budget options, and we'll talk about that. But like I said, you're gonna wanna spend as much as you possibly can buying a good knife. My go-to knife, which has a lifetime warranty, and has remained sharp and that I love, I spent damn near $200 on.
Wow.
The Buck Hoodlum, yeah, it was like $180 or something. And it was worth every penny.
That was my next question. Was it worth it?
Yes, and I'll talk about something that I bought that was $100 and kind of a piece of shit, and I've not liked it since I bought it. And I like it less as time goes. Like I kind of want to just like super reprofile the edge, just because I hate the knife. I'm not even gonna lie, I hate the knife. So yeah, we're gonna go into that. I mean, just consider your budget. I want you to spend as much as you possibly can. Even though I will give you cheap options,
mm-hmm.
those cheap options, you get what you pay for.
Right.
And except for, like, the weird fucking, that $25 knockoff Chinese-made K-bar I bought.
Oh, you mean the one that you fucking had a mission of trying to break the damn thing and you just couldn't?
No, not only could I not break it, I couldn't even lose the edge.
Every now and then you get a weird anomaly, but you can't count on that.
You can't. If you're ever at a gun show and you see a super long Tonto black epoxy, what do they call it when you powder black powder coated Tonto blade, Chinese made K bar for $25, buy it and try to break that shit because you won't.
Fucking nuts.
I didn't, dude. I one time accidentally batoned into a rock on accident. And didn't even chip the edge.
Damn.
It was still sharp. It was ridiculous. I was, you know, batoning, you know, you put the log up and you split like you would be splitting wood.
Right.
I did that sideways a few times to chop down whole trees.
Fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, I could not break this thing no matter what.
Somebody sold their soul for that knife's edge.
Yeah. I was kind of sad when I gave it away because I give away bug out bags.
Oh,
kits.
You gave it away?
Yeah.
Why would you give that knife away? It was like made of kryptonite.
I know. So if you ever see one of those, get it. So next, we need to talk about grind.
Grind?
You're not going to go into your Peter Griffin here? What grinds my knives?
Oh. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
You're a fag. So there's sort of three main grinds that you can find on knives. And then there's like sub grinds and funky grinds. But we're going to focus on like
what
the
really
top
grinds
three.
My knife's blade.
There you go.
There. Makes you happy.
So my favorite is Scandi grind.
Scandi grind?
Scandi grind.
Is it like shrimp scandi?
That's scampi.
Oh.
Scandi's like Scandinavian.
Okay, so tell me about your scampi grind.
Scandi grind is it just goes down to one point. You know, so a lot of knives, the other two ones we'll mention, hollow and flat, they have a micro bevel. So it, I can demonstrate. You guys at home won't be able to see, but you should know. You've got the, you know, usually from like the middle of the blade or so, it'll go down towards the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get down to the edge, you'll have another bevel going down at the very bottom.
Right.
Scandi grind only goes straight down. There's no second bevel.
Oh, okay.
That makes it super easy to sharpen. Because you can literally lay the blade flat down against your sharpening stone and push down on the bevel. And you'll find the right angle.
Yeah, because with that second bevel, you have
to pull up.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of like, you have to just get used to where that you need to stop to get to that right angle.
Mm-hmm.
With the Scandi, you just push down and you just drag the edge around the stone, which makes it easy to sharpen in the field with shitty grinders and shitty stones.
I know, but why is that? Okay, if that's like the easy and smart way to fucking do it, why do they even do that second bevel edge like that?
It's stronger.
Because there's some more thickness to the blade all the way down until you get to the fucking actual edge.
And it holds it a bit better. I have knives that have that. The Buck Hoodlum obviously has a secondary bevel. And to be honest, I'm not good at sharpening it. So I can sharpen, you know, so the flat or the hollow. Going through my personal favorite, Scandi. Easiest to sharpen. You can fucking sharpen it on a rock in the field.
Right.
You know, it's easy to maintain. I like it. You have the hollow and the flat. Flat would sort of be my second favorite.
Okay, what do you mean?
So it is basically what most knives you see are. It has the grind and it goes straight down to the other bevel and then, you know, it has that micro bevel on the bottom.
Right.
So that bevel going down is flat.
Jorn, why are you pawing at me?
He's tearing up everything.
I know, but he's tearing that up, and then he's pawing at my arm.
I don't know.
Bet you, motherfucker.
You still find that secondary bevel by, you know, pushing down on it and then lifting up again. The hollow is used, they sharpen that. They put the bevel on it, and they sharpen it on a belt sander. And when you sharpen on a belt sander, there's slack in that belt.
Right.
Which sort of, like, gives you a concave in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't... The way I've seen the best to sharpen at home, if you don't have a belt sander, is to get, like, a foam pad or a mouse pad and put down sandpaper on top of it. And then you can push down on it, and you can keep that hollow grind in there.
Oh, okay, I get you.
Where are you going to find that shit in the field, though? Eh, exactly. So
you can get you one of those like those leather strops for a fucking straight razor and put, you know, sandpaper on it.
Yeah.
Then you can just, you know, because they usually have a loop in, you can put that around a fucking branch and yeah.
And I'm sure bladesmiths can go out in the woods and still keep sharp, you know, of their hollow or flat grind.
Yeah, the best knife in the world ain't worth a fuck if it's dull.
Yeah. So those are a couple of grinds. I would go with Scandi, followed by flat. Hollow, if it's a good knife. I mean, if it fits your needs, you know, that's for you. I mean, like I said, you got to find the knife right for you.
You know, that is the one good thing about machetes and sharpening them. You just need a fucking steel file.
Yeah.
Nothing special, just a fucking file you can get at any fucking hardware store. Easily stored in a fucking bug-out bag.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same with axes. I mean, a file or just a round stone. Just, you know, you can get really sleek. But anyway, so next, do you want to go with a production knife that you can go into a store and buy or order off the internet? Or do you want a custom knife? And some of the custom knives are not necessarily like you talk to a knife builder and they build it, but it's like limited runs where they're not like, they're not mass produced. It's a guy making a knife. And it may be a pattern. Maybe he makes like a bunch of these, but it's still not an assembly line shooting out knives.
No, I mean, you're talking about knives where they might look the same, but every one of them is a little bit different because they're all made by one person.
Yeah.
Not, like you said, not like fucking Henry Fording it through a fucking knife production.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy a Gerber pocket knife or something, you know, they're going to be spit off an assembly line thousands at a time or something.
Yeah, virtually identical.
If you buy, I think Topps kind of is semi-custom. I know Blindhorse Knives was, but they changed their name, and I don't know what their name is anymore. You know, or if you find like a blacksmith to make you a custom knife, like those are all levels of custom. The price and the quality is the difference here. If you get a custom knife, it's going to cost you a lot more. I mean, sometimes you can find people that, I guess they don't know their value. But generally it's going to be a lot more expensive. Generally the quality will be better.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the larger places, like, say, Buck, have – when you do production knives, you get the quality sort of down pat. Mm-hmm. You have, like, that built in there. So you know that you can watch videos of them trying to break these knives, and they're not. And, you know, with custom knives, you have to deal with maybe that person says it's a lifetime guarantee because they're good. But it's one guy. He may go out of business because he can't afford it. And then you're like, hey, my knife broke. And he's like,
I don't do that anymore.
Sucks for you, buddy. Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I change tires for a living now.
Change tires, yeah. So even if you get a lifetime guarantee, if the guy's out of business or if he dies, you know, my Buck Hoodlum, I can break it and I'll be able to send it back for all of eternity.
That's like those scissors that I own. I mean, I know they're not knives, but I've
got
this.
Blades?
Yeah, I mean, they're blades and they're really fucking good. And honestly, there are plenty of survival situations where a good fucking sturdy sharp pair of scissors can fucking come in handy. But this fucking pair of scissors, it's a very reputable brand. It's got a spring-loaded scissoring action on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lock the blades in place closed, you know, for safety purposes. I could fucking go out, throw them in the yard, leave them in the rain, run over them with a fucking riding lawnmower, pick up the fucking pieces, send them back to the company. They'll send me a brand new fucking pair of scissors.
Yeah.
They are guaranteed forever.
Yeah. And the company's not going out of business.
No, they're
not. You're good, you know.
No, they're not. They've been around forever. And it's funny. I've seen this. I bought this brand new pair of these, okay? Now, one of my other buddies' mothers, 25 years ago, this is how I introduced her, because she had a pair of these that she used for all of her crafting. It looked exactly the same then as they do now. They have not changed the design on these at all because they figured out the design decades ago and they're like, it fucking works and we can't improve on perfection.
Yeah.
They're just that fucking good. And that company's so proud of their shit that they don't change the design and they stand behind it no matter fucking what. If your scissors ever fucking break, we will replace them for free.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you get production. Like, you got that guarantee pretty much for life. Because a lot of these companies just don't ever go out of business.
Yeah.
If they've been around this long, they're just probably, they're not going out.
Mm-hmm.
I realize we're running behind, so we're going to speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, because I actually got to get out of here in like 20 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we both do if you're going with me.
Yeah. So, just one or more. I like a knife set. I usually carry a Buck Hoodlum with a smaller knife, whatever I'm testing or whatever at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because those big survival knives I'm a big fan of are not good at some small detail work. You know, you could probably get by with, you know, a big survival knife and a good pocket knife.
Yeah.
So you got to find out what works for you in your system. For me, the Buck Hoodlum, usually paired with a Mora, works for me. If you're further up north, bigger trees, you might want to have a smaller knife and an axe. That's probably going to work better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do a lot of small detail work with your small, like, Mora knife or whatever, or, you know, condor or whatever bushcrafter knife you have, and do your big, you know, processing of woodwork with an axe. An axe is more efficient. You're carrying more weight. You're easier to do, you know, it makes the work easier, though. So, there's a trade-off.
Oh, yeah.
You have in your bug out bag, you have what, a big knife and a small Mora, don't you? You have your big, your big survival knife with the all the bells and whistles and your small Mora knife.
Yep.
Yeah. So I am, and I didn't even like. I gave Mike a small knife, and then he gravitated to a big knife and a small knife system as well.
Yep. I mean, that's got that. I mean, plus, I mean, those aren't the only fucking knives technically in the bug out bag. I mean, there's my fucking multi-tool, which has its own knife blade on it.
Yes.
I love anything that just fucking, here, we're going to throw a knife blade on it. I love that.
Yeah.
Because you just never fucking know when you, I will say one thing, because we've talked about fucking, you know, like Dollar Tree bug out bags and shit before that. Just listen to me. Don't, okay, if you see like an imitation Swiss Army knife at the Dollar Tree, just skip that. Okay, I will say, fucking skip that. Because I bought one of those and first, first time I ever tried to use the corkscrew on a cork, it bent. I mean, it started, I had to break the damn thing off the knife because it wouldn't close anymore. The knife blade snapped after fucking 5 minutes of using it. It was just total piece of shit. Don't buy a knife at the Dollar Tree. Just saying.
No.
And if you're everything's a dollar stores, no. You get what you pay for. I mean, I didn't even get, it wasn't worth the dollar.
Yeah, and if you've watched 127 hours, you know you do not want a cheap multi-tool. Hmm. When he's trying to cut his own arm off, the blade was so dull and shitty, it wouldn't even cut through his arm or the tendons. He had to use the pliers to grab tendons and twist and snap them off.
Well, I actually heard the fucking real story. I haven't seen the movie, but I saw the interview with the actual one-armed motherfucker that did all that shit.
Aaron Ralston?
Yeah, well, the reason his fucking knife blade was so dull and wouldn't cut through him is because he had just spent several days trying to chip through the boulder with it. He fucking ruined that blade because it was the furthest thing from his mind that he was going to have to cut his fucking arm off. He didn't realize he was going to have to fucking cut his arm off until he was still chipping at this fucking boulder.
Oh!
The blade went into his fucking thumb and a release of gas came out.
Yeah.
Did they do that in the movie?
Yeah.
Now, see, yeah, that's when he's like, oh, God, my arm is rotting. That's when he was like, I've got to get the fuck out of here and I've got to lose this arm to do it. Because that was his last, furthest thing from his body. He's like, utterly worst case scenario, I'm going to have to cut my arm off, but I'm going to do everything I can before I have to fucking do that. And then there's the whole process of breaking the fucking bones. And fucking using that he said the worst part was when he actually had to fucking sever that nerve, because the second he touched it, it was like electric shock through his entire body.
Yeah, so get a good knife so you can cut through your own arm. So, some recommendations. I like the Buck Hoodlum. I like the classic Mora. I gave Mike I forget the name of it, the model. It's the rubber handled Mora. I didn't like it as much. It's it just seemed like I could never get it as sharp as the classic. The classic is ridiculously so sharp, like if you drop it, it'll just slice your hand off. Like if he had had that, he'd just whoosh and his arm would have been off. I like those two a lot. Something River Bravo. That was a good knife. Condor makes a Bushcrafter that's like $40, $20-$30. I've heard it looks ugly as shit. It looks ugly, but it's a great knife. What are you doing? You eating your finger?
I got an itch on my finger.
God, you're hungry. K-Bar. A real K-Bar or that magical Chinese knockoff K-Bar. Either one, you're good to go. Not to avoid. So I bought the Habilis Bush Tools Pathfinder trade knife. And I fucking hate that knife. It was the orange-handled knife you've seen that I have.
Yes.
The all-black. Yeah. It came from the factory dull as shit. I've tried to sharpen it. It's just never very sharp. It doesn't like the baton right because it's a funky, weird shape. Like, it's weird. It looks like a fish. It looks like a fish that you're busting through wood with. It's just, for like $99, $100, you're better off buying like five Moras or two Condor Bushcrafters or, I don't know, a raw piece of steel and sharpening it with an angle grinder.
Or getting on one of those fucking QVC channels that specializes in knives where you can spend that $100 and get like 30 fucking knives.
Something, yeah.
I guarantee one of those would be better than that.
Yeah.
Better than that.
Yeah. I mean, not the Havas Bush knife, like the wooden handle classic Moras, amazing. Be careful with some of the rubber handle ones. I've not had good success with them. And do not fucking get a Rambo knife. You're just gonna break the handle off because they're usually welded on there really shittily.
Yeah, those fucking like Rambo was carrying, where you unscrew the bottom and the bottom lid is actually a compass, which can come in handy, but the fucking stock is fucking hollow, so you can put stuff in it. But think about it. What gives a knife its strength to its handle is
the full tang.
Yeah,
the tang on it.
Yeah, the tang on it. I mean, in a traditional knife, you got a piece of metal that is the blade but extends down into the handle.
Yeah.
With that, basically it stops at the handle with like what you said.
It's welded onto a pipe, basically.
It's welded onto a fucking pipe. And
that weld breaks often.
Yeah. So basically you just end up with a handle and a blade.
Yeah, there's, who is it? Someone, not Condor, someone makes a knife like that, but it's not welded on there. The tang basically is super fat, and they just rolled it over into it.
Hmm.
And it's fairly cheap, and it's a big knife, too.
Well, that's gotta be better.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, there's the Rat knives, the Rat series knives. They are beautiful. The Rat 4, the Rat 7, 6, they're all amazing. You can't go wrong with them. They're just a little bit pricier. That's it.
Whoa.
That's all of them, yeah. Find what works for you, and then find if you're just starting out and you want to go spend like, I think from Amazon you can get a Mora classic knife for $12. $12. Go buy two of them right now. Just go buy two of them, and then when you have money, you know, spend like $100, $200 on a knife.
Yeah. But a classic Mora, I mean, that's going to do you good.
Yeah. I mean, well, like I said, it depends on what you're using and where you're at. So if you're going to be bushcrafting a lot, you're probably going to want to get a good quality bushcrafting knife. I'm just trying to process wood, so I got a big, heavy, sturdy knife. Works for me. So find out what you would do. And then, you know, as you grow and expand, you're going to end up getting more knives and you'll have a crazy knife collection like me and Mike. And you have knives for different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because knives are fucking awesome. Let's run through this last story real quick and wrap this pig up like a long pig.
Our nutrition punk?
Yes.
Thinking of becoming a vegetarian? Well, you can't.
Well, you can't. We all have that one snooty friend who's always talking about the ethical reasons for his vegetarianism. I mean, his vagina. Well, now you can prove him wrong.
Should have said, well, now you can.
A new book by Andrew Smith, PhD, an assistant professor of philosophy talking about vegetarianism, in Drexel's College of Arts and Sciences, who specializes in environmental philosophy.
That's
make-believe, yeah. That's a thing. Makes the case that there isn't a moral, defensible argument for vegetarianism. And in fact, you can't even actually be a vegetarian. The book, A Critique of the Moral Defense of Vegetarianism. You need to work on your title, buddy. Was released by Palgrave Macmillan this month.
Daniel Quinn, author of the award-winning philosophical novel Ishmael.
Married to a medical lady?
Yeah, exactly. Said of the book, "This is one of the most important books I've read in the past 2 decades, and I think you'll agree whether you're a vegetarian, vegan, or neither. It will change your mind in a significant way. It did mine, and you'll enjoy the process, even if it means relinquishing some assumptions you once considered far too self-evident to be questioned." Himself a vegetarian, if he could be, for 25-plus years, Smith draws on the latest research in plant science, system ecology, environmental philosophy, and cultural anthropology to eliminate the distinction between vegetarians and omnivores. He illustrates how the divisions we've constructed between plants and animals and between omnivorism and vegetarianism are emblematic of ways of thinking about ourselves and eating practices that perpetuates an ecocidal worldview, one that destroys the natural environment. For example, Smith explains that the linear way we currently view the food chain, the cow eats the grass, we eat the cow, is inaccurate. Instead, a cyclical view, the cow eats the grass, we eat the cow, the worms eat us, the grass eats the worm, the grass eats the worms? Is more accurate in the sense a person can't be a vegetarian because even plants essentially eat animals.
Interesting. There's some microorganism things. We are part of an extended food web, he said. We are not at the top of the food hierarchy because there is no... Get down from there, John Kitty. Because there is no top. Everything living being eats and is eaten. And it's a good thing. The well-being of our planet and of our well-being depends on it.
And vegetable cruelty.
In the book, Smith also challenges the most common defense of vegetarianism, the sentiment argument.
Sentientist argument.
The gay argument, which claims that eating animals is cruel because they suffer. The defense assumes that plants, by contrast, do not suffer, which has been proven to be wrong. Smith, however, cites a great deal of empirical evidence to support that plants are sentient and can also suffer. Plants have biochemical reactions to noxious stimuli that are very much like ours, he said. For example, Smith explains that plants thrive in diverse communities. They do. But that conventional agriculture has created unnatural settings where plants live alone. Corn with corn, wheat with wheat, and so on. In these settings, plants are more susceptible to disease, which farmers prevent by dousing them with pesticides that will keep them alive just long enough to harvest. This is harmful to the plants, to the land, and to the people whom consume them. If plants were allowed to live in diverse communities, claims Smith, they'd be happier and healthier, and thus, so would we. By treating them well, we treat ourselves and our world well, he said.
I think we've actually talked about that before, about plants that you should grow together.
Yeah.
Because it's more beneficial to all of them. Smith argues what matters more than whether we eat plants or animals is how we treat them or who will become our food. The world would be better off if we could reorient the way we think about plants, animals, and our relationships with both, he said. Moreover, re-envisioning our relationship with food is necessary for our species to survive and thrive. According to Smith, the world would be a better, far better, if we could embrace that we are full-fledged members of the community of life, constituents of a closed-loop system from which we have borrowed, are now using, and will one day return the fire of life that burns us all.
Good article.
I've been just fighting with Jorn this whole episode.
Yeah.
He attacks me, I attack him, you know.
Yeah. It's the great web of life. I like to throw stuff in vegetarians' face whenever I get the chance, because they're all so snooty jackasses.
Yeah, bitch, the only reason you think that the plants don't fucking mind is because you don't hear them fucking scream. That is it.
Yeah, it's...
They don't react when you kill them. Sorry if they don't have fucking muscles and a vocal cord.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't physically fucking see it, but yeah, plants are in agony when you cut pieces of them off.
Yeah.
I've always believed that.
Which, I'm okay. I'm okay with accepting that something has to die for me to live. That's the circle of life.
I mean, yeah, because if you fucking won't kill, if you won't eat anything that didn't at some point die, well, basically you're fucked. You're just going to die.
Yeah.
And then the worms will have no problems eating it. Nothing will ever dine on me, though. I'm getting cremated.
Yeah.
Cremated, locked in an urn.
Oh no, but then
looks like the TARDIS.
Don't cremate me. That's the three words. Don't burn me.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm a Doctor Who fan. How can I ever do this?
Yep. No. Nope.
Don't burn me.
Yep.
Don't cremate me.
And on that bombshell.
Yes, it is time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is Jam Sickwin Burnett.
And just remember, take a very sharp knife if you're going to cut your arm off.
DIY to cut your limbs off, you guys.